ducks and put them in the pan and put them in the drum and let them go all night. And in the morning, everything was cooked. Spuds and onions in there too. Plenty full. On the 7th, arrived at Eagle. Oh, the first quarrel. Settled, but we set it settled anyway. The 30 then we left Eagle and met a gale and had to camp. And a little snow, felt snow, my goodness, and we were just starting out prospecting. The 9th shot ducks. 10th reached Sirtle. 260 mile, that's is Sirtle from Dawson. And and left again. We didn't stay only a few minutes. Got stuck twice on the sandbar, Charlie. It was easy to do for us. We'd never been on a river before. Twice on the sandbars. Took photos. I had a camera, you know, and was taking pictures. Got lost. Got lost in the slough, which is a common thing too. Lost in the slough. The 12th on Sunday, arrived at Fort Yukon, 377 miles. We didn't stay long. We got a little bread, I think, and at 8 we left. At 10 we started up the Porcupine. Porcupine started poling, and we didn't know how to pole. Two of us would be on the bow, you know, and holding the boat out, and the other two fellas pulling, just working against one another. But we got along. Yeah. We had an inch line, an inch about that thick, you know, and it would sag right in the river. You're pulling about half the river up at the same time. You want a quarter inch line and come straight out, you know, and this would lay right in the river there. Started pulling. Oh, Fred got a wetting. Took two photos. Difficult travelling, I should say it was. And difficult travelling and crossing. It was hard to cross, Charlie. We didn't know how to use the oars either. On the 14th, nothing special. And when we get to a bar, you know, we just take our bedding and just lay it right there and go to sleep right on the bar. We never met in a camp, you know. 15th, difficulty. Something with difficulty, with lots of that anyway.
Difficulty with crossing.
16th, bear hunting. Oh boy. Bear hunting, and I never shot a gun in my life. Bear hunting, and got nothing. Of course we get nothing. Only lost ourselves. That's all. We got lost, you know. We got out in the woods and got lost. And anyway, rough weather too. And 17th, there was ice along the sides of the river. But this was where we got lucky. We got up to what is called now Bootleg Bend. That's 60 miles up from here.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two white men trappers there, Anthony and Dippy Walker. Dippy Walker. Anyway, they come across, they saw us on the bar, and they come across, want to know any news from the town. And we went over with them. They see the layout we had, you know. And we went and camped with them that night, and that was a godsend. They come over next morning and showed us how to set the line, you know, and how to do things. And they said, if you stay at Schumann House if there's nobody there. as it's too late to go any further. We was going up to the mountains, you know, going up to find some creek and prospecting. And anyway, we got to Schumann House, and Joe Herbert had moved in the night before. And that was a good luck again. Our luck just starting good. So two of us stayed there with the boat, and two of us went along the bank to a nice patch of timber, you know where we have, Charlie. And we went up there. There's where we're going to settle for the rest of our lives. Anyway, we went up there and started to build a cabin. Wait a minute, if that's here. Oh, wait a minute, Auntie and Walker. Yeah, they gave us fish and rigged up our boats so we could, you know, go along better. And we went hunting ducks there and stayed all night in their cabin. Fished, but caught nothing. Of course, we was fishing in the river and probably wasn't a fish for 50 miles, you know, with hooks. And rope and mast. We put up a mast, you know, and they both broke. The rope and mast broke. Had all kinds of trouble. All kinds of trouble. Arrived at Schumann House only to find that a couple of Indians had got there ahead of us. And that's why I tell you we went along and found a place to stay. This is on the 20th. This is 20th of September too, by the way. Found a good place for cabin. Shot snipe. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was something to eat. You know what a little snipe is? Shot a snipe. Shot a snipe with a rifle.
Oh, it blew it all the paper.
Oh, we, I tell you, we was green. And started to build cabin. Well, now here's something that we put the roof on. We started to build the cabin on the 21st and finished and lived in it first night in the second day. That was pretty good. We put it, the four of us, and we put a flat roof on. Building the first night, and the first night under a roof since we left Dawson too. That was a lot, the first night we had a roof over us. We didn't have no tent, you know, nothing like that, since leaving Dawson. Anyway, we slept in that night. It don't mention here, but it snowed 6 inches that night while we were the first night in the cabin, and slush running too. So we just stopped in time. Oh, stacking wood and finishing the cabin. Went hunting, but got nothing, which is we never did. ice floating down the river. Hunting and fixing cabin. Oh, we went hunting, but we had no idea about that. And fixing cabin. Cutting trail. And on the 27th, 28th. Oh, here's something too, Charlie. We had about 20 traps, you know, and we figured they got to be smoked. We'd hang them up and make a fire under them, and they're supposed to smoke them and make them smell. Oh, boy. And that just scared the animal away instead of getting them there. Oh, yeah, wait a minute, then we start in a little look. Smoking traps. Indian that Joe Herbert visited us, you know. And I think he invited us to go hunting with him the next day. So we started out on a moose hunt with moose hunt. Met Indian at dinner at his house. Then he went with Oh, yes. We had dinner with them, and then we went out with Joe hunting. And the lakes was froze then, too. You could walk on them pretty well on the side, anyway. We camped there. And just getting dark when Joe looked up and he said, "Moose." So we looked out, and about 100 yards away, the great big bull stood there. And, Joe started to shoot, and I got my rifle, and I started to shoot, and old Fred was excited. He never did shoot. But I couldn't hit nothing, I'll bet it was, and dark, too. And old Joe shot, and I'll bet them three shots just like that in that moose, and just knock it right down. Yeah. I moved 100 yards away from the campfire, so we packed it up there and left it there and went home. And old Fred, why we had a sack there I wouldn't know, but he put meat in the sack, and I packed the two beddings, and he packed the sack of meat, what your gift was. A sack of meat. Had a rough time. Oh, well, of course we did. 1st of October, and here's a good one, too. We was making the toboggan to go and bring, Joe give us half the meat, you know. And we was making the toboggan to bring our half of meat in. And we had some boards and chips. We had a carpenter with us, and there's pretty rough boards, and he made a toboggan or a sled or something. And old Fred and I put our beds on it and went down to Schumann House and was going out to this meat. But we couldn't pull the thing down to Schumann House. We couldn't pull it with the beds on it, never mind half a moose. So we just left it there. We got about halfway down to Schumann House and left it there. We couldn't pull it any further. Mates lay and returned to the cabin. Then we asked Joe, set out, to fetch the moose, but left the sled on the river. Of course, on the river bank. We couldn't pull it, you know. And arranged with the Indians, that's Joe Herbert, to fetch our moose in with us. He would bring it in for $5, bring our half a moose, which he did. Oh, then we was cutting trail, and Indian and family visited us and had dinner with us. Also brought part of the moose on toboggan. Cutting trail, and that was a good way we cut trail too. Somebody would climb a tree, you know, one of us, and we would go from one lake to another, and the trail would go one way and another way. We wasn't particular whether it was straight or not. First attempt at, here's a good one, first attempt at making bread. Here's something about the bread business, too. using sourdough hotcakes, and good and sour, too. And Scotty, it would have, if we didn't learn how to make that bread, Scotty would have died. He would have killed Scotty. He was in awful bad shape. Just straight hotcake, this sourdough, three times a day, you know. And anyway, these two, Anthony and Walker, that we'd stopped, you see, they, as soon as it froze, they come up to visit us and showed us how to make bread. You can make good bread with the sourdough. But that's the first bread we'd had since leaving Dawson, you know. That is sourdough, with any eating sourdough hotcakes all the time. And Scotty was pretty near dead too, and there was no way to get any place. You couldn't, the rivers froze up. What are you going to do? Finished it, yeah. Where did I get that, Anthony? Where did I get that making bread? Oh, for making bread. developed and printed photos. I could do that myself, you know, I had a business to do it. The sixth, made cash, and did something anyway. Oh, and stacked the provisions. Stacked one half of moose. Oh, well, here's what we had then for in our cash. We had half a moose, two hare, we called them hares, you know, they were rabbits. Two hares, eight grouse, two ducks, and 20 salmon. That was for the winters. That was the supply. seven cutting trail, and that was good 4 hours ago when we pulled this toboggan that Chips had made them. We didn't have no tent, we just have a piece of canvas. Finish one trail. Oh, wait a minute, it is a good one. Seven cutting trail and fell in leg and had the first rabbit pie. finished one trail, built second trail, 15th cabin, we built a cabin there, a small cabin, and cut wood for it, snowed about every day, cut our boat out of the ice, washing and bathing, etc., on the 16th. Joe fetch moose from Indians. Seven, George and Chips went to, that's the Scotchman, my partner, and Chips was the Switzerland boy. They went moose hunting, you know, and they were just the same as us. They wouldn't have known if they saw one. And Fred went down river 30 miles for sled. We'd seen a sled there and we thought he'd go down and get the sled. Splitting wood. We was getting a lot of wood ready for the winter. Putting feathers in the cabin. We didn't have no floor, you know. We just we call it feathers, you know, this spruce boughs, yeah. And put in the cabin. We'd change them about every week in the cabin. Fixing traps and baking. My goodness, baking. I wonder what it was. George and Chips, that's the Scotchman and the Switcher, they came back from hunting. Caught nothing. Of course they didn't. Fred came back without toboggan, too. We went down. Yeah. Oh, we had lots of fun. Quitting wood. That's right, here's something. Anthony came up, you know, and he saw a track around our cabin. It was a marking track, see? And we didn't know a marking track. So he said, well, what would we do? Well, he said, you go on the trap line, and every once in a while you make deadfalls. Well, we did. We start making these deadfalls. We'd go, and probably a marking wasn't within 100 miles of it. Probably that's the only marking in the country. And we would make these deadfalls every once in a while. Oh, we built them, lots of them. Built on the trail. On the trail one and two. Making deadfalls and setting rabbit traps. Got four grouse with the rifles. Well, I know them fellas that just sit up there, you know, the spruce gouse. They call them pool ends. I caught two rabbits.
Can I go turn the teapot down? Oh, it's going to boil out of water.
Oh, yes. Tomakin in trap. In traps. Got more grouse. We got a lot of grouse. They was lucky about that, and we had one shotgun too. Building deadfalls, yeah. Building deadfalls. Yeah. Cooking trail was shot to 28 grouse. Oh, there was lots of grouse and we had a shotgun. Had a visit from the boys, that's the one we met on the trail, you know, that cabin down there showed us how to make bread. Visit from the boys from down the river and the Indians laid around cabin, just doing nothing. Got lost. Got last of the bread. Ray and Harry returned. Ray and Harry learned us to crap. How to set traps. On the 20th, the boys went home and we started setting traps. Caught first marten too, and that was in a deadfall. And when we took it home, we didn't know what it was. I remember taking it home and putting it on the table and everybody looking at this marten, and we didn't know what it was, you know. Caught first marten when it's the only one we did catch too. The first and the last. The 30th, set in traps and caught three rabbits and shot grouse. Set in traps, etc. George Sick, that's my partner, started to make toboggan. November 2nd, set in traps. Have about 9 rabbits and 50 grouse. First day on the trail with snowshoes. Oh, we were split, you know, we never been on. We played around home to get to know how we used them. First day on the trail with snowshoes. Doing little things around the cabin. Skinned the marten, and that was quite an event too. We never skinned anything like that. We didn't know how to do that. Started making traps, etc. On to number 3 trail. We had them numbered. And none of them above about 2 miles long. All of us going out. We would take a toboggan and this piece of canvas, you know, and we would all of us go together and cut in trail, taking toboggan. And removed until the 7th. Return from the trail home. Divided provisions. Oh, I see, I forgot about that, and we started 2 companies. Scotty and myself, Chips and Fred. Yeah, I forgot that. We agreed all right, we didn't have no quarrels. Started 2 companies, that's right. Started turns on these little trails, you know. We had built a little cabin, and one man would go out himself, and then we'd take turns going out on this cabin. And we set traps and things, but yeah, on the trail. Last of shells, that's the last of the shotgun shells, so we're through with the tomahawking men, or the chickens we call them. Looking at the snares, got 2 rabbits, making 12 up to date. Yeah. Oh, George's birthday, that's Scotty. 4 rabbits and 5 grouse. George and I set. Oh, here's something too. These 2 boys that come to visit, as you see, now we're going to visit them. And it's 30 miles down there. So we went down there, and there's 2 trails. There's one going to Fort Yukon, and we figured that Anthony must have, well, we figured we'd follow this winter trail, see? And we knew we'd gone too far. We were getting dark. And we come out on the river, and we thought, well, that the river looks like we've seen it before. Looks like we knew about it. So we figured we'd go a little further. We went down the river till it got dark. And that must have been pretty near 40 miles, you know. And then we didn't have nothing to eat, of course. We were going to visit Anthony, so we went across the river, climbed the bank, and brought little boughs and just sat there all night. I know I burnt my moccasin and toe, too. We just sat there keeping the fire in all night. And then we've got to go back because no Anthony, no cabin. So we started back next morning, and I told you, Scotty was a poor traveler. He played out crossing on the White Pass coming over. He played out with us. And going up, Scotty was all in. We walked up no trail till we come to this trail again that we just left. So Scotty, we went in the woods there, and he cut a little brush, and I tell you, lay down or wait till I go up. It looks like a cabin up there. And if that's the cabin, we always took it with a revolver, you know. If that's the cabin, I'll fire this revolver, and then I don't have to come back to you. So I said, oh, and I found which the cabin, all right. I thought it was a way off, you know. So I started back and fired this revolver, but no Scotty. And I keep going down and going down till I get down there, and Scotty's sound asleep. And I was sore about that too. So just for meanness, you know, I said, no cabin. And Scotty, he was just all in. Well, what would he have done if there wasn't? I don't know. Anyway, I said, no cabin. And Scotty just, no more, he was all in. Then I felt sorry, said, no, it's a cabin, all right. So he brightened up and we walked up to the cabin. Anthony wasn't there, but there was a lot of green, fresh fish there, you know. And we went in there and cooked and helped ourselves there. And that night Anthony came over. If we hadn't found the cabin, I don't know what would have happened, because Scotty was all in, and there's 35 miles to go home. So I don't know. But anyway, Anthony come back, and we stayed there a couple of days, and that was all there was to it. Arrived back from the boys. Yeah. Hanging around the cabin. Went around the number 2 trail, setting snares and looking for rabbits. Thanksgiving Day. Set snares, traps along the slough. Oh, rabbit trapping. Oh, Fred's sick. One of the boys got sick. And Chips went down to the Indians. Chips was good, he would. Oh, yes. Went down to the Indians, ready for the fort. Chips went to fort, down to fort, this Chips. And I went on number 3 trail. This Chips went down to Fort Yukon. Walked down there, stopping on the way. And I went on number 3. December 1st, came back from trail, caught 4 rabbits. Second, around the cabin, ditto. Harry came, bringing our... bringing our something from the fort. This was one of the boys that we met down there. That's Harry. He came bringing from the fort. And he stayed with us around the cabin. From 50 to 60 degrees below zero for 3 weeks. Harry stayed with us. Harry went home then, stayed with us a while. Visit from King Edward. There was an Indian up there called King Edward, and he came to visit us. General around cabin, feathering, etc. And Chips came back from the fort. Harry came at 12 at midnight, you know, right at night. Frank Foster came up with George. Harry, Frank and George, they went up to Rampart House for Christmas. That's a good trip too. Of course they had dogs, 2 dog teams, up there for Christmas. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, Chips broke trail for them for a long way. For a little distance, yeah. Finish ventilating and feathering the house. Around cabin for Xmas. And old Fred was a good singer. He'd sing a million songs, and he was a German, he was a good singer too. And he was entertained as singing with the old Fred, so we had a good Christmas. Around cabin, Christmas dinner, rabbit, grouse, and moose pie, see, with rice, fruit, dumplings. Gosh. Yeah. Oh, yes. Rain and snowstorm on the 28th. January 1st, around the cabin. I cook dinner, same as Christmas. Fred supper, fruit dumpling, six feathered cabin, etc. Chips breaking trail for the boys. Well, is that any further? That's about everything as amounts to anything. Oh, the census taker came. he came from down the river, way down there. I remember his name was Blue too. He was all right. He's a census taker. Now he stayed with us about 3 days, and there was an Indian with him. And we set some traps up the river, and this Indian that seen him, well, he says a blind fox wouldn't go in there. We had no idea how to set these things, so he brought these traps and set them around our water hole where there was a fox trap. Yes, he's from Rampart, where this Blue, and he insisted on paying us for it for the days he stayed. We didn't want him to, but he insisted on that. And he's the only census taker as ever did pay. All the other guys would stay long enough, but there was two others come after him. But anyway, the boys left for the fort. That's Anthony and the other fella. And we caught the first link in a wire snare, in a wire snare house. And we caught a mink in a deadfall. And 18 Chips and I went up slough and set a line, skinning link, and that was quite an event, I'll tell you. Ray and the census taker left. Oh yes, we caught a red fox too. That's where that boy that set the traps for us. And we went out at night, it was right at the water hole, and all four of us went bright night and went out to look at this here, and there was a fox in the trap, and old Fred went right down and jumped right on it. I guess he didn't know nothing about killing him, jumped right on it anyway. And I know we were skinning that fox, and we didn't know how one broke one leg off, and we were pretty near crying. Yeah, Ray and the census caught red fox. Yeah. Chips went out on number 3. George C and Q. Started again. Well, I don't know what that is. February. Harry came up. George and I went with Harry to High Place. Came back again. George and Harry set out for Rampart again. Got first letter from outside. Gee, that was in February. And we hadn't had the letter, you know, well, since we left Dawson. From outside. Judd and Chips went down to see Dick Martin to learn us how to set rat traps. Went down to see Martin. Had visit from natives. Caught two rats. We must see, we've begun to find out about that. I don't know who showed us how. March the 1st, George came back from breaking trail and brought in a mink. Chips and I came in from setting new link. Spring Falls. Oh, that was a good one. Spring Falls for link. Donald came on the way to the fort, stayed 2 days. Ray Walker, yes, came here to cut cordwood. He stayed with us and he cut 20 cords right at the house, and I started cutting with him. $1.50 a cord for every cord that was cut. I started with him next day, and then Chips had made a toboggan and we used it, and we took it out. Chips brought in link too, so we had three altogether. Number two, started for the fort next day, started whip sawing lumber. We whip sawed lumber for two boats, for two 30 foot boats. Nice half inch lumber too. For the boats, and came about a week ago. Finished that. I was cutting cordwood. Helped Walker to cut cordwood right at our house. So we figured the 15 cords of wood and started off up the river. And we have to pull that with the neck, and all we had was beans. Nothing else. Beans and bacon. And a piece of canvas to cover us. So we went up there and cut another 15 cords, and then started off further up, 25 miles further, and cut some more. We went up as far as where this village is up there, Canyon Village. Had to make trail all the way to, and cut 11 cords there. Yes, going up to Sybil's cabin on the 24th. 6 to 11, we cut 12 more cords of wood. There was two men had gone up there, just as green as us. They was taking a trading outfit up, and they didn't have no moccasins, no shoes, and nothing. They figured on trading off these supplies to the natives, and they never saw a native. They didn't get where any natives was, so they had nothing all winter. And them fellas, they had a little trail back of the house. They just step in the same tracks each time, and they got three link, and they didn't know enough to eat them. They wouldn't think of eating a link, nice three big fat link, and they didn't have no meat all winter, and nothing else, only just what that with the provisions, you know. And they come to our house, and they wouldn't eat, we would eat anything like that, but they wouldn't eat that. No, don't eat link. And they got three big link all winter. And they had to leave the supplies there. I don't know what they did, and go back to Fort Yukon. They never sold an article of nothing. And we stayed in the cabin and cooked 15 cords of wood there. The supplies were there, but we didn't want them, or didn't take them anyway. For first of the fourth, that's in 3 days, we cut 11 cords of wood. Going up to Sybil's cabin, 24th. 6 to 11, cut 12 more cords of wood. Went up to Sucker, River Portage. That's where that canyon village is now. Went to the end of Portage and started to cut wood. Cut 10.5 cords there. And then started for home. Got to Sybil's cabin on our way down, and then we started down home. Reached home, and here's the best of it too. I was getting paid. Scarty was my partner, you know, and he was supposed to be catching rats. And I had $80 come in, and Scotty, he'd been sick all the time, so he had to have half of my $80, so I got $40 after going up the river 90 miles and cutting 75 cords of wood. And he'd done nothing, only he was sick. He couldn't help it, of course. Yeah, at home, yeah. Right.
from some kind of bed and washed and started trapping, that's the rats now, see, I guess, trapping in the slough. And we split up there. Scotty and I went out to the cabin we'd built, and Fred and Chips trapped rats around home. We went in and baked bread, and we took, I don't know, half a dozen loaves, and that was to last us 2 months. We went 1 month with straight rats 3 times a day, and that to fry them in their own grease. Yeah. Rat in the lakes in May. Took in blankets and brought out a gun. Oh, I shot at swans. We saw some swans, but we didn't hit them. Went duck shooting. I got lost. Oh yes, I tell you about that. I was really lost. That one, that I could have got in trouble that time. We have a cabin, see, and we were looking for new lakes. So you could see what's it open there, and I thought I'll go in and find this lake, and I'll keep going and to another place where it looks like a lake. And I had a shotgun and one shell in it, and I went there and going to look at these lakes till, well, I got tired and I'll go back home, and I never got home. I must have passed the cabin, and first thing I'm up, there's a big hill there. And I know the hills, our cabin was in the flats. I know it wasn't a long way from home. So I went up this, and I had gum boots on, and I climbed a tree up there and just completely lost. I hadn't the least idea. I know I was lost because I was up the hills there, and our cabin was right in the flats. So I climbed this tree and I saw these lakes down there, and I thought, well, that looks like might be the lake close to our cabin. And I went down to this lake, and here's a lake we'd already been trapping, me and Scotty. So right there, of course, I knew the way home. But I was completely lost, and Scotty didn't know where I was, you know. Well, I think that's, yeah. Oh, yes, went in and baked bread, of course, and took a blanket. Oh, yes, went duck hunting and got lost, and I was sure lost. If it wouldn't have been for that hill, if I couldn't climb that tree and look around, I could have been lost 50 miles from every place. Oh, yes. Lost in the evening. I fell in the lake. And fell in the lake again. Well, that's all of that anyway. We was about ready to go back to the camp then and drift down the river.
Joe, you mentioned Anthony and Walker. Would you explain who Anthony and Walker were? How did they get up there and what were they doing?
Well, they went up to 60 mile up there. They went up trapping to get to in the fall to get fish, and they had I think they had some dogs the same as we did, and prepare for the winter. And there was there it was in September, we was tracking up the bar there on the Cook Bank, and they come over to see what was traveling. They was there trapping. That's why then we went down to visit them.
Well, had they been in the area for a long time?
Oh, they was old timers here, both of them. How long they've been here, I wouldn't know, but they were just old timers there.
Do you have any idea where they came from?
Walker was an American, but Anthony, he was either English or Canadian. I don't know that he never took his citizen papers. He was around quite a while too. He was married to a native girl too. He would go stay with Cadzo at Rampart House quite a while. Never did much of anything. Down at the mission down here, he was very popular around the mission with the Burks, the doctor and his wife. Anthony finally went over to the other, what we call the other side, the Mackenzie. That's the last of I heard of him over there. Must have got in a little store business with somebody, and he was in the, over in the Mackenzie. That's the last I heard of Anthony.
But Anthony and Walker were partners.
Anthony and Walker was partners that winter trapping.
Just that winter?
That's all. Neither of them ever did much trapping after. Anthony would be traveling up and down up to Rampart House, and he never really did much trapping, didn't Anthony? Never made no success of it.
You mentioned that Anthony was around the mission quite a bit?
Quite a lot. He was very popular around the mission, with a very well-educated man. A nice, good company, too.
What?
There was another fellow, Frank Foster, an Englishman. He never got his papers. He worked for McEnroy. He built that bootleg bend, that's the house. He built another house where these two, Walker and Anthony, was. He built a new house there and named it Bootleg Bend. And he trapped there a long time too. He never took his papers, so he had to pay $100 license, which I did for 3 years myself. And he never did. And Frank, there isn't a nicer man in the world than Frank Foster. He used to build the boats here. And he went up with Rube Mason. He couldn't make a living where he was. And Rube took him over on the Canadian side. And he got sick and went over to Dawson and died in the hospital there.
Now, quite often, you and the boys at your place went down the river to visit with Anthony and Walker.
Yeah, that's the time as George and I, you know, went too far. And we wasn't lost, of course. But, yeah. Scotty and myself.
When you went down to visit them, how did you entertain yourselves? Did you play cards or talk or what?
Just talk. There was good company, Anthony and Walker, especially Anthony, and telling us the little things we want to know. There were so many things we want to know, you know. Yes, there was, no, we didn't have no card playing. There were so many things we want to know, too.
Did Walker get buried alive once?
Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't know why they call him Dippy, but he used to drink a little, not too much, but anyway, he got drunk and laid down, and they just, you know, wooden bunk, and they just kind of rolled him under there out of the way, and Dippy woke up and thought he'd been buried, but he was in the coffin. That's why, I don't know why they call him Dippy, but I know that that's Walker under there.
Well, now you were trapping on the Porcupine River. Now, there was somebody else trapping on the Shinjek.
Rube Mason was trapping, and he was there entirely by himself. There was nobody on the Shinjek, only Rube Mason. We went over to visit him one time, Walker and me, from our place, and well, he wasn't there, but he come while we was there. He didn't know we was coming, but we just went over and paid him a visit.
Rube Mason trapped quite high up on the river, is that right?
Well, Rube trapped away up 300 mile up the Shinjek. And I know they think further they get away from up there and the more they get, but it's a mistake. They get out of timber. Yeah. Yeah, 300, and remember they was going with poling boats, you know. I know his boat was called a Millionaire Baby, the nice little poling boat. But remember, going to Salmon River is a bad stream to travel, and probably 300 miles up there with a pole.
He had a dog. Didn't he have a dog, one
he
dog?
He had one dog, I remember, called Mickey. He was a big dog, probably 200 pound. And he was a big duck. I know he told me, he walked ahead all the time, and he said, didn't know where Mickey looked around, and here Mickey was chased with his outfit and everything was chasing a moose there. Just one dog, and he'd have to walk ahead of him. Didn't have much dog team then. About four was the most anybody ever did have. And they all had their tails cut. They didn't have that long-tailed dog, same as they have now. I think that's so they can get them together, closer together, and then closer to the work.
Now, did old Dad Rice trap in that area?
Who?
Dad Rice.
Oh, Dad Rice and Smith. Smith, a fine young man, Swede, he was trapping about 40 or 50 miles above us. And he used to go over to Black River, I guess beaver hunting, from the Porcupine. It's not far across there, the beaver hunt. And he left, he had a lot of rats that he'd been trapping at Old Crow. He left two or 3,000 rats there at his cabin. And he went over there, and I know that Dad Rice, we call him Dad Rice, he moved up Black River. He told me that he is going to stay 2 years and he's going out live retire. I know he carried a lot of money around in a belt. And we guessed that neither of them never showed up again. They both disappeared. So the only thing we could guess Smith has gone over and they've got shooting at one another, something like that. Because Smith never got back home and Rice never come to the fort. Both men disappeared. And that way, the Halens from come along to his cabin. They were told, pick his rats up, come to Fort Yukon. Berman took charge of them and sold them, I guess, and give Haley and Strom enough to start the trading post. That's how they started at Old Crow. Wait a minute, about this Smith, when he was at my place, the only remarkable thing about Smith, he was eating prunes, and he'd eat the stone and everything, just chew everything up. I never saw a man do them things before. And he told us, here's what he told us, which people did, the few dollars I had, I would bury it sometime out the way. Well, Smith had buried some money, how much I wouldn't know, under the bank close to his house, and the bank fell in and it took him 4 days to dig it up and find it. So, I take it for granted that he must have some money left there again when he went over to Black River, because naturally he hides it someplace, so it's someplace on the Porcupine yet, or someplace up there. Because he never got back, and he wouldn't take the money with him when he's going over hunting to Black River. How much he had, of course, I wouldn't know.
Now, Haley and Strom, how did they come into the picture? Why? What were they doing up there?
They were scrapping, but they knew about as little about it as we did our first year. But anyway, they was coming. They had a boat, and they had a little boat, and they did a little freighting, and they called at the Smith's house and took the rats down, and Berman started them up in a trading post. They had a trading post at Old Rampart and Crow. They had two trading posts there, one at each place.
Well, did they do well at their trading?
Who?
Did they then do well at trading?
Oh, they went broke, both of them. They could have made a lot of money. Two trading posts and no competition. Though they should have made maybe not a million, but a good part of one. Two places and no competition, away so far from town. No, they went busted. Haley, he come down to Rampart House. That's the last we heard of him. What he was doing there, I wouldn't know. That's about 60 miles from Crow down there. And we guess that he's gone out for water to the river and fell in. He just didn't show up again. But they was pretty, they gone down pretty well. I last saw him going up with just a little fishing or trading outfit and just busted.
How many years did they trade up there? How many years did they trade up there?
Oh, I don't think about, I wouldn't know. One or two years, I wouldn't know that. But not long anyway. He come pretty near going broke there too. If he hadn't been crooked, he'd have been broke too. There was a man come along one time there. Our place is in a bend. He don't stop at our place. He stopped at Schumann House and did a cut-off there. This man was come along buying rats at $3 each. And he was only selling then about three for a dollar. So he was come along. I didn't see this man. So he went up to Crow and Dave Lord had taken Charlie Strom's place at Old Rampart. And they got a lot of rats there. And Dave sold his, he wanted to sell his rats to this man, but he just wouldn't sell them. And he'd been paying this $3 as this man was offering. He bought rats for three, but he wouldn't sell them because he wanted a better price. So Dave was there one winter. He paid $3 for them and got about a dollar for them, and he was busted. That's the one year he was busted and out of business. And Smith went up to Rampart to Old Crow, and Oscar Schultz was trading there at that time, and he wanted to buy these rats from $3 each, you see. Well, Oscar and Rube Mason, they went to town. I don't know, Rube was going to town and Oscar went with him. I know they stopped at my place. They didn't tell me about this price, that I got a lot of rats then too. Anyway, they went to town and got this man Smith's mail to take up to him. But the rats had dropped down to about a dollar each then. And when they got back, they didn't give him the mail until they sold him the rats for $3. Then they gave him the mail and the man knew that he's out of luck. He's busted. And Dave paid $3. And wouldn't sell them, so he was busted too. Now Oscar Schultz, if he hadn't have sold them, he'd have been paying this good price and he would have been broke too, but still he would have been in business there and could have recovered that, don't you see? But Oscar, he went out and I visited Oscar while he was outside too. But that's why Oscar would have been broke there if he hadn't have, if he'd have given this Smith this mail, crooked too. This man, he wouldn't give it to him until he sold the rats.